taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. Yes, this is where we read, we study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am glad you could join me today. You know, if you've been paying attention to the news lately, you'll see that there's a lot of, well, there's a lot of changes in the wind, especially when it comes to COVID. Now, there's been a big talk lately. There's been a lot of talk lately about, well, you know, the science has changed. Somehow, within just a couple weeks, the science has completely changed. And you know what? I will grant them that. I will grant them that the science that has changed very much in just the last 2 weeks to a month, maybe 2 months. Oh, no, not medical science. The medical science hasn't changed. The political science has changed. We've had, you know, we've had scientific evidence. We've had the examples of states. We've had medical reports. We've had reports coming out of different countries telling us about COVID, and it didn't matter because the political science didn't change. But now we're seeing the political science change. So now I'm sure when they say the science has changed, they're trying to convince us that somehow medicine has changed, the effectiveness of Omicron has changed, that medicine has made a sudden change. But if you've been following this for any length of time, I'd say it's the political science that has changed. So let's take a look at some examples of, well, the changing political science with the with COVID, and more accurately, with the way we've dealt with COVID. See, COVID hasn't changed. Yeah, we've got another new variant floating around, but no, what's changed is the political science. Well, for example, you remember the whole brouhaha about mandates, right? Well, a U.S. appeals court was asked to reinstate Joe Biden's vaccine mandate for federal employees. And the Fifth Circuit Court said, no, we're not going to do that. By a 2-1 vote, they declined to stay a lower court injunction. They said, nope, the lower court did the right thing. We're going to let it ride. Now, remember, this comes after the OSHA mandate having a stay upheld to prevent it from going into effect while it goes to the courts. Of course, then again, we had the HHS mandate that had a stay removed, which would allow it to go into effect while it's still going through the courts. So we now have another court saying, you know what? We don't think that you've got a leg to stand on. Or we're not, you know, again, the people opposing the mandates stand a pretty good chance of winning, and you haven't shown that the removal of the stay or not removing the stay would have a serious impact. So nah, it's going to stick there. We're still going to have the stay, and of course, politicians look at that going, we're starting to lose. But why? What has changed? Well, I saw an interesting article by Brianna Lindman. This came from the Daily Caller. And the title is called Stanford Doctor Lays Out What He Believes is Fauci's Playbook for Silencing Dissent. And that kind of got me thinking along an interesting line. Because according to this doctor, and I'm sorry, I will not try to pronounce their name. I don't think I could do it without butchering it too badly. Bhattacharya, I'm sorry. They're a professor at Stanford School of Medicine. And he noted, he said, what Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins tried was to, his words, create a false impression of scientific consensus on COVID policy by labeling scientists who disagree as fringe. I'm sure we all remember the time that, you know, Fauci said, well, if you disagree with me, you disagree with science. So they used the media, they used big tech, and they basically said, listen, agree with us. If you don't agree with us, well, you're not following the science. In other words, they didn't deploy scientists, they deployed propagandists to promote an opinion, to smear and take down their opponents. And what's interesting is they actually went after, among other things, those who signed on to the Great Barrington Declaration. Men and women with actual degrees and credibility. And that story is now falling apart. People are seeing the emails about that have been released of Fauci targeting people who disagree with him, about the conspiracy to discredit anyone who disagreed with the approved narrative. Everyone from YouTube and Facebook down to convincing your grandparents, you know, that, oh, well, you can't disagree with that. He's a doctor. Even I have had a YouTube video pulled from YouTube because I dare to quote international medical ethics and U.S. federal law. It got labeled medical misinformation, even though I provided no medical, at least I don't think I provided any medical information in it. Facts and data. And the thing is, you can snowball someone for a period of time, but it's falling apart. And now that we have the emails showing that it was a fraud, people don't trust them anymore. When the FDA said, you know what, it's going to take us 55 to 75 years to provide the data to the scientific community that we use to approve these mRNA vaccines in a matter of months. It didn't go over well. And people started realizing that this was not based on medical science. And the political science changed. So when the FDA, I don't know if they dropped them or failed to include Moderna approval documents from their website, they got hammered. People saw what was going on, going, wait a second, why are you hiding this information from us? See, the document that outlines why it approved Moderna's vaccine got pulled. Of course, it later got reinstated. Why? Well, you see, because the people weren't simply taking the FDA's word for it anymore. You know, people talk about the American people losing faith in institutions. Well, part of that's because they've shown themselves to be not worthy of our trust. So when the FDA pulls a file with data, people wonder, well, why are you pulling that? And they try to find the archives. And then, of course, sometimes you'll even get occasional members of Congress to get involved and push this to the point where the FDA restored those files. You have the big push that Biden had for all of these vaccine mandates. We don't need legislation. We don't need no stinking batches. We just need to sign some executive orders. And we will order, we will dictate to the rest of our, to the rest of the American people how to live their lives. Well, you see, then he started losing as more and more and more courts were putting injunctions against enforcing the myriad of different mandates. As I already mentioned, OSHA got enjoined and that was upheld. The HHS was allowed to go through, but again, judges were opposing vaccine mandates for federal workers, for federal contractors. The image didn't look good because he had no legal or constitutional basis for it. But that's a whole other story. The point I want to look at is you now have people that you have more and more people suing the president and his administration. You have more and more people joining on to suits. And you have more and more people filing briefs in these suits. See, there's a group of 45 Republicans from both the House and the Senate filed an amicus brief opposing the vaccine mandates for federal workers. Now, on the one hand, I look at that and say, you know, that's fairly standard political posturing, right? You know, the animus natural to party dissension. But the Republicans haven't been known lately for being strong-willed and standing up. So to have them actually file an amicus brief, maybe it shows them that there's a chink in the armor, that they think what they'll gain from joining onto this suit, from filing a brief in this suit, is more than what they will lose from joining this suit. Okay, maybe I'm being cynical, but I think I've got a fairly good reason for doing that. Do you think these 45 Republicans would sign on if they thought they would be pilloried in the media, would stand no chance of winning, and they wouldn't be supported by others in their party? I don't think so. A handful, one or two, maybe, half a dozen possibly, 45. 45 maybe says maybe they think that they can get away with this without paying a price, which is another chink in the armor. It's another example of people not trusting what they're hearing, people not willing to put up with the lies, put up with the illegal orders, the unconstitutional orders, the complete disregard for the rule of law. If you've got political people, political partisans, joining lawsuits in a not insignificant number, not a huge number, but not an insignificant number, well, then the sea has changed. The political calculus has changed. And the Republicans, who, again, not exactly known for going out on a limb to protect the rights of the American people, are stepping out just a little bit farther. Maybe they think that limb isn't as weak as we thought it was. But it's not just the courts, and it's not just the politicians, and it's not just the bureaucrats. See, more and more students are protesting these mask mandates. In Oakdale, California, hundreds of high school students went out on a let them breathe demonstration against the mask mandates. I mean, yes, you have the Canadian truckers, and they've gotten a lot of attention pushing back against the vaccine mandates. And it's interesting because, you know, the usual tactics of, well, calling them names and trying to deprive them of their legal protections and resources doesn't seem to be working. You know, Justin Trudeau saying they hold unacceptable ideas kind of backfired on him. Police confiscating fuel that the truckers are used to keep their rigs running so they can keep warm, yeah, that backfired on them as well. And now you have students in California that start saying, you know what, no more. We're going to refuse to wear our masks. We're going to protest these masks. And they're not the first, but it's the largest one I've seen. I mentioned in a previous episode about a young lady who was who was suspended from school for 10 days for not wearing a mask. She was willing to stand up for her rights. Bravo. These students in California, as long as you keep it peaceful, bravo. See, I've said all along that when the individual stands up, they're a target. But when a group stands up, they become strong. I like to use example. In last year, there were two videos that caught my attention. But related to this, or two videos related to this. And in one case, you had a Texas mother. She was her mother were watching her son play a game. It was outdoors. She was on a bleacher. She's 20 feet or more away from anybody but her mother. When a guy who shows up with a badge on one shoulder and a chip on another tries to get put on a mask, she refuses. He gets physical. She pushes back. He tases her, handcuffs her, and then drags her out of the stadium. Now, if you watch the video, you'll notice, I noticed the way everybody else reacted. A couple of people had their cameras out. One person commented, is this guy even really a cop? But most of them just kind of looked away. To me, it looked like they were looking away in shame. They did not want to get involved. They did not want to participate. She was left to fight for her rights alone. And at about the same time, I believe it was a restaurant in Buffalo, New York, you had a health inspector try to do some sort of spot check. Shows up with a couple of good-sized sheriff's deputies. And the owner said, where's your warrant? Of course, back and forth, I don't need a warrant. Yes, you do. I'm not a cop. Doesn't matter. You need a warrant. Yada, yada. Reasonable searches. At one point, you know, you're trespassing. Leave my property. At one point, one of the deputies looked over and said, listen, we're just trying to do our jobs. He says, no, if you were doing your job, you'd be arresting the trespasser. Now, in this case, the health inspector and the two deputies gave up and left peaceably. What was different? What was different was the patrons of that establishment were standing behind the owner going, no. You're not going to come in here and do this check. You're not going to violate this person's rights. They stood with him. The best example actually is Attila's Gym in New Jersey. You know, when they shut them down, they opened up anyway. When they turned off the water, they brought in jugged water and porta potties. When they turned off the power, they brought in generators. When they chained the doors, they broke them down. When they boarded the doors, they broke that down. They refused to give up their right to their property and their liberty without due process of law, because the executive order from the New Jersey governor was illegal. And every video I saw that, there must have been at least 200 people right there with him. See, that I think is what we're starting to see change. It's not simply individuals standing up. Now we're starting to get groups. Now they're losing in court or they're being held up in court. You've got groups of people, whether it's truckers or students, that are pushing back and saying, no, 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 no. This is too far. You've stolen too much from us. You've gone too far. This far and no farther. So what we're seeing is not so much a change in the medical science. The medical science behind masks having limited functionality, behind the efficacy, especially long-term, of the jabs, especially when compared to natural immunity, that's been there. That's been there all along. The medical science between ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and zinc and these other tools has been there. Even the medical science of the easy treatment of COVID-19 has been there all along. But now the political calculus, the political science has changed. people are standing up almost like they're getting instructions from Captain John Parker. For those of you who don't know the story, you're familiar with the Battle of Lexington. Well, as the British column marched on Lexington, they were met by the Massachusetts militia, headed by then Captain John Parker. When the British commander ordered the militia to disarm and disperse, the captain of the militia told his men to stand your ground, don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here. This shows you the importance of standing together. This shows that it is not hopeless. Those who want you to tell you that it's hopeless are the defeatists that are willing to give in. Why they do that, not here to discuss. But this shows that by firm conviction, by standing by the rule of law, even when there are those who tell you you're crazy, this can lead to change. We don't need a violent uprising. We don't need another revolution or a civil war. What we really need are men and women willing to stand by the Constitution, stand by their rights, stand by their oaths, even when they are called names, even when they're pushed back, even when they're threatened with jail time and ruinous fines. We need to stand our ground. See, the thing about government is most often a bully. They know that they can intimidate people into complying. Over 200 million Americans, according to the CDC, have taken at least one shot of the fake vaccine. Nobody stood there with a gun to their head. They just eventually complied. Now, some of them did so willingly. Some of them thought that was a great idea. They went right ahead and did it. That's their choice. I don't condemn them for it. I don't berate them for it. That was their choice. Some of them required coercion, persuasion, let's say. Offer them something. Offer them a bribe. Give them something in exchange for taking the shot. Everything from gift cards and toys to being told, well, everything will go back to normal if you just take the shot. You'll be able to take off your mask, you'll be able to go to work, you'll be able to return to life as normal if you'll just take the shot. And some of them complied. Others required real coercion. They required threats. If you don't do this, you'll be punished. You'll be fined. You'll be prevented from going to certain locations. You will truly be a second-class citizen if you don't submit to the shot. Some of them went so far as to actually fight back. Some of them were denied access to life-saving medical treatment because they wouldn't take the shot. Imagine that. And there were still men and women who were willing to stand by their freedom, that were willing to die because they couldn't get a transplant rather than take a jab and be a medical experiment. This is what happens when people stand. You know, I know we all wanted that quick and immediate response, and everything will be fine, and everything will go right, and we can fix this immediately. But we forget we've taken over a century to move from citizens, masters of our government, to its subjects and its slaves. These things take time. Now, I'm glad that government is finally seeing the light, even if I may, in my skepticism, believe the only reason they're doing it is because they're expecting a shellacking in the upcoming legislation or the upcoming elections. So call me cynical. I believe the political calculus has changed, not the underlying science. And that is why we're seeing these changes. Now, before I go on, I do have to take a break, but I do want to point out a couple things. First, if you want to find out more about the Constitution Study and the work that we're doing, just head to the website, constitutionstudy.com. I put up my, I have articles and videos I put up there, not different from what I put, that shows up here on the radio station. Different one shows up on the Constitution Study page on AmericaOutloud.com. You can ask questions. I'm still looking for questions to do a Q&A segment. I'd love to hear your questions. I'd love to hear from you. I love hearing stories when people tell me about what's going on, and sometimes they ask for help, and sometimes they just want to give me some news. I like that. And with your permission, I'll even talk about it on the radio. But that's where you can find everything I'm working on. And if you want to support the Constitution Study, both the radio program, the website, and everything else I'm doing, well, feel free to donate. There's a Donate Now button on the column, on the right-hand column on the website. It is not tax-deductible. I'm not a 501c3. But if you want to support the work that we're doing, you can buy something in the store, or you can simply donate to the cause. And I'd appreciate that greatly. While you're at it, why don't you head over to HealthyCell.com? You know, if you go through this grocery store, it's amazing the vast amount of food in the grocery store that's processed. And it doesn't have the same vitamins and nutrients that, well, that our grandparents had. So one of the things we've done in America is we rely on supplements, but they really haven't changed those supplements since the 1930s. And along comes HealthyCell. They redesigned the vitamin to work at the cellular level, to boost your immune system, to help you sleep better, to help you focus deeper. So absorb a healthy lifestyle with HealthyCell's pill-free vitamin supplements. Now, sometimes, you know, I get to the end of the day and my focus is gone, right? You have that. Used to be you'd reach for a cup of coffee. Nowadays, I tend to reach for energy shots or energy drinks, and they give you that boost, but then comes a crash. Well, HealthyCell has a supplement called Focus and Recall. It's designed to boost your short-term focus, help your long-term memory, all without the caffeine, the sugar, the highs, and the lows that come from these energy shots and energy drinks. I use it. It is very helpful when I get to the end of the day and I need that little extra to get over the finish line. So give it a try. Now, if you go to HealthyCell.com, you can try any of their formulas. But when you check out, make sure you use the code OUTLOUD. That will get you 20% off your first order. So if you want to try HealthyCell, try any of their formulas, just make sure you use the code OUTLOUD at checkout to get 20% off your first order.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11, a patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The American Constitution is the most magnificent document on earth. We are America Out Loud. Join us as we celebrate the genius of our founding fathers. So you can listen in on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, we're asking a simple question. What has changed? This sudden change in so many politicians, enough to give a person whiplash. They keep telling us that the science has changed, but the only science that's changed is the political science. This is not a surprise. I've seen people for the last month or two warning that they're predicting that this would happen. Because the same people that were telling us that mass and vaccine mandates were necessary or everybody's going to die are suddenly telling us that, nope, everything's changed and we should get rid of mass and vaccine mandates. All conveniently just in time for, well, an upcoming election cycle. And if we look at the data, we look at some of the studies, we find out, well, yeah, you know, you look at a recent study release that reveals that lockdowns contributed to the reduced economic activity, the rising unemployment, the reduced schooling, the political unrest, the domestic violence undermining our rule of law. And now the same people that were causing this are now claiming victory, saying, see, we fixed it, when they didn't. They say, well, you see, the vaccine has stopped COVID. Well, no, except we're going to have to live with COVID. And gee, it seems like it was less the vaccine and just the fact that a lot of people got it and developed natural immunity. Now, again, that's my opinion. But once again, we're seeing the same people that have been lying to us for 2 years, the same people that have been using us as medical guinea pigs for a year, the same people that have denied you your rights, further ruined the economy, have treated you as subjects and slaves rather than citizens, are now claiming, see, we got it all right, and just, you know, sure, they're not even admitting they were wrong before. So it's like suddenly, nope, everything's changed, so listen to us now. You know, rather like the boy who cried wolf, who over and over and over again said, you know, oh yeah, there's a wolf, and there wasn't. Now suddenly they say, oh, there's a wolf. Is it true? Is it really true what they're saying? Well, for example, the CDC released a nice new spiffy little graphic, pretty little graphic, trying to convince you that wearing masks is effective. See, looking at this graph, and you can find it, just search for the CDC. In fact, maybe I'll put a link to it on the show page when it shows up. It says, look, cloth masks drop your risk 56%. Wow, that's amazing. The cloth mask drops at 56%. Of course, there's a couple little things that they don't bother telling you in their spiffy little graphic. Well, they do. They just make it really small and hard to see. For example, this is based on 534 participants self-reporting mass type. Yeah, in other words, they didn't do a study. They didn't do a controlled study. They didn't mask some people and not mask any other people, and they didn't try different masks. No. They simply said, hey, did you get sick? Did you wear a mask? If so, what type? And only 534 participants. So it's a ridiculously small sample size. It is not a rigorous scientific test. And even the CDC, way down in the bottom, and I mean way down, tiny little thing down in the bottom, says not statistically significant. So even the CDC admits that these numbers don't mean anything. They're not statistically significant. Doesn't matter. You've got the big, pretty graphic that everyone's going to look at saying, oh, see, cloth masks work. Forget all the studies and stuff, all the scientifically controlled studies or the observational studies that show that they're of little work. Forget the EPA saying that cloth masks at most, if you wear them properly, only stop about 40% of the virus particles getting into your body. Nope. You look at this and say, see, cloth masks are great. And then, oh yeah, but kind of like that, you know, kind of like a prescription commercial, some prescription medicine where at the end, you hear the guy running through, oh, by the way, so that's still considering. It's a scam. The CDC's data is a scam. And I'm sure someone's going to turn around and say, see, our mask mandate saved the day because the CDC says masks are effective. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm pretty sure it's coming. And they're going to use this as claiming, see, we got it right, so now you can still follow us. Now, in another example, now in my, again, my previous line of work, I worked in IT. I was a systems engineer for over 20 years, almost 25. And I'd often have a customer ask me a fairly vague question. You know, if we do this, will it improve that? And it's generally very vague. And my answer was usually, well, it depends. Here are the 3 or 4 or 12 other things that you have to solve for to get that answer. So I grant Director Walensky a little bit of wiggle room in this story, but not a lot. She was asked, what are the specific benchmarks that would trigger the CDC to ease up on the COVID restrictions? What is it you're looking for? What is the trigger that says we can now settle things down? Now, her response was, well, we're, of course, taking a look at this in real time, and we're evaluating rates of transmission as well as rates of severe outcomes, as well as we look at updating and reviewing our guidance. That's a lot of words that don't say anything. So it seems to me the answer is there is no trigger. There are no standards at which they say, yep, here we need to mask, there we don't. Now, again, I do give her a little bit of wiggle on this because there are a lot of factors to be considered. And it's difficult to ratchet it down to say, okay, if infection rates fall to this, then we can pull back. Or if death rates fall to that, then we can pull back. So I'm not simply saying this is a scam, but it should tell you a lot that the people that are making the decisions don't have specific benchmarks. They don't have targets that they're shooting for. Now, why that's important is because it becomes really easy to move those goalposts if you don't actually set the goalposts. If you don't have a standard that says, oh, okay, here's our target. Well, as you get close to something, you can move it and move it. We've seen it before. Which is why, again, I'm not surprised. Not that much has changed over the last couple weeks, but except for the rhetoric coming out of, you know, certain political environs, certain political offices, and, well, of course, most of the corporate media. So I'm not completely sanguine. To me, that's a non-answer that says they don't know. And if they don't know, again, why are we listening to them? If the answer is, again, I teach, part of what I do is I teach for a living. I love teaching. I'm one of those weird people that loves getting up in front of a group of people and teaching. I look forward to those opportunities. And I also train people to teach. You know, my site, The Constitution Scholars, is a mentorship program where I train people to be not only students of the Constitution, but teachers of the Constitution. And in my classes, I always like to reinforce this point. I don't know is a perfectly viable answer if it's followed by, but I'll find out. So if, you know, Director Walensky had said, listen, we don't have a fixed point. There are a lot of things we're evaluating. It's going to be a combination of infection rates and death rates and you know, that we'll have to look at in toto, but I don't have a hard and fast because there are just too many variables. I would have at least given her credit for that. When she says, well, we're looking at real time, we're evaluating, we're looking at it, you know, and we're updating. That's not really an answer. That's a dodge. Of course, it's exactly what I expect from politicians and bureaucrats. And let's face it, Walensky is much more bureaucrat than doctor. In fact, I don't even know, I think she's a medical doctor, but she's a bureaucrat. So again, I give her a little bit of wiggle room. I don't go as far as others, but I certainly don't like the answer that she's given. Now, I think one other thing that we're seeing that's changing the political calculus, that's changing the political science behind these, revolve around recent uprisings from against totalitarian rules, regulations being put in place by other countries. I mean, we've talked about the draconian measures being done in Austria, how Australia has become an effective prison colony again. Even in New Zealand, there are reports of truly draconian measures. But I think the one that's made the biggest change here in the U.S. is the Freedom Rally. You know, the trucker protest against what's going on in Canada. Now, I'm not on board with everything that this protest is doing. I have no problem with them demonstrating and making their problems known to the government in Ottawa. The fact that they are disrupting people who have nothing to do with putting these in place, I'm less sanguine about. But what you do see is you see thousands of people that have joined together to protest Act. Now, again, I'm not an expert on the Canadian Constitution. I don't know their laws. I'm not even going to pretend. But I know that in the U.S. this would not be acceptable. And I'm pretty sure that many things that have come out of Ottawa and other provincial capitals are illegal in Canada as well. Now, it's not only been the concern about the Canadian truckers and all the havoc they've caused, but there are rumblings that U.S. truckers may be looking to do the same thing to show their displeasure by going en masse. I mean, at one point, I think one of the convoys was over 90 miles long, not 90 trucks long, 90 miles long. See, that's a lot of people really worked up about what's going on. And I believe politicians are noticing this. Now, it's interesting, some of the reactions, right? Because Prime Minister Trudeau said that these truckers had unacceptable ideas. Yeah, well, try that one down here. Well, actually, they have tried that one down here. Because remember, Jen Psaki had said effectively that there were certain ideas that they didn't want Facebook publishing, so they were flagging these posts and notifying Facebook so they could be deplatformed. I also remember the White House saying that if you get kicked off of one social media platform, you should get kicked off of all social media platforms. I mean, that's a blatant violation of the First Amendment. Tell me, what law of Congress are they using to do this? What power under the Constitution are they using to encourage private citizens, private companies to silence views they don't like? Don't give me that misinformation nonsense. We've just proved that most of what's been called misinformation turns out to be absolutely true. Hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, misinformation, but absolutely true. Masks don't work, misinformation, but absolutely true. The fact that this mRNA vaccine is experimental, misinformation, yet absolutely true. I had a video pulled off of YouTube because I dared to quote the Nuremberg Code and federal law regarding emergency use authorization. And I was told I was giving out medical misinformation. I'm like, I didn't talk about medicine. I talked the law. And the fact that the law says what the law says. So yeah, we've got that in the U.S. And yeah, we've got our president, or at least his administration, saying there are certain ideas that should not be allowed in public. And guess what? The administration wants to decide. And that kind of pisses people off. Then, of course, you have, in Canada, they actually passed a law. I guess it was Ottawa passed a law saying that you could not deliver fuel to these vehicles. You see, trucks burn fuel, and if you're in Canada where it's cold this time of year, well, you want to keep warm, you got to keep the engine running, which takes fuel. So people were showing up with fuel cans, and they were refueling the trucks. Well, police started confiscating them. And it doesn't look good, and it got people mad. So people started donating money to the cause. $10 million Canadian dollars, about $8 million U.S., were raised on GoFundMe alone to support the protests. Well, let's just see. GoFundMe put out a statement on February 4th. To ensure GoFundMe remains a trusted platform, we work with local authorities to ensure we have a detailed, factual understanding of events taking place on the ground. Following a review of relevant facts and multiple discussions with local law enforcement and city officials, this fundraiser now is in violation of our terms of service, term 8, which prohibits the promotion of violence and harassment, and has been removed from the platform. Have there been any promotion of violence? Has there been any actual violence? There's video of these protesters cleaning up the place, picking up garbage. See, I don't trust GoFundMe. I don't know why anybody else would trust GoFundMe. There's a reason why I pulled donations from the Constitution Study off of a third-party platform so I could host it on my own website, because somebody's going to come up with this nonsense. And you know what? That pissed people off. And it wasn't just GoFundMe. There's another outfit called Give, Send, Go that has been collecting money. There's been collecting donations. And the Canadian government has ordered that those funds be frozen. Give, Send, Go is not standing for it. The co-founder of Give, Send, Go, Jacob Wells, said his team is meeting with lawyers to consider the legal options, but that they will not follow the Canadian order to freeze the funds for this particular event. Mr. Wells said, "All we're saying is the funds are going to flow to these people in a way that they're going to be able to have them and hopefully be able to access them." But you see, the tighter these tyrants grip, the more people see the truth and start slipping through the fingers. This is not a surprise, right? If they can't coerce you, they try to intimidate you. Now, again, this is Canada. But I'm pretty sure the American politicians are seeing what's going on. In fact, I know they see what's going on. You have the Biden administration reportedly telling Canada to use federal power to crush the convoy. There are reports that Michigan Governor Whitmer offered to bring in heavy equipment to clear the trucks off the bridge. We see this in America. And while they're still trying to maintain control, there are those that are seeing the winds have changed. The political science has changed. And it's time to distance themselves from these things, to convince the American voter that it wasn't their fault. See, we're the ones that lifted the restrictions, but you're the ones that put them there illegally in the first place. We're the ones that opened, but you're the ones that illegally put them there in the first place. And now, attorneys generals from 4 states are investigating GoFundMe after they removed the Canadian trucker fundraising. You see, while Give, Send, Go is fighting for the rights of their of those who have projects with them, GoFundMe didn't. GoFundMe shut down the campaign for the Freedom Rally. And now, attorneys general from Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and West Virginia are investigating GoFundMe citing the potential deceptive practices affecting their state residents. One of the attorneys general, Morrissey, tweeted the other night, says, GoFundMe now won't honor Freedom Convoy donations and will instead redirect to other charities. Said, in West Virginia, organizations must not deceive donors and engage in deceptive advertising practices. If you've been victimized by a deceptive act or practice, let us know. And this is where life got a little interesting for me. I know I'm skipping back to the GoFundMe, but see, GoFundMe didn't just say, no, we're not doing this anymore. They're stealing. They're embezzling the money from the Freedom Convoy because they had an agreement to give them money, and now they're going to take it and spend it somewhere else. And that's not sitting well with the American people. And the politicians in Washington know it. And they see the writing on the wall. They see the poll numbers. They see that Biden's numbers in the tank. They see that the numbers for many Democrats are in the tank. That's why we're seeing, I believe, a lot of Democrat congressmen decide to retire. Because they see the writing on the wall. They see that their positions are unpopular. And they see that positions from states like Texas and Florida are very popular. And they're trying to simply jump on their coattails, join the bandwagon. Because the American people traditionally have a very short attention span. They figure, hey, we've got 9 months for the American people to forget we're the ones that stole all their rights. Or not all their rights. We're the ones that stole most of these rights. It was our policies that caused this mess. It was our policies that made things worse. It's our policies that put them out of work. It's our policies that put their masks on their kids in school. It is our policies that have disenfranchised so many people. And now they want to run from it. So yes, the science has changed. The political science. The question is, will the American people be duped? See, I've said all along, one of our biggest problems is how we vet our candidates for office. Too many people look at political promises or flyers or party affiliation rather than looking at their history. So let me ask you, if your representative, your senator, your governor, any elected office that's coming up for election this year, have you looked at their record to see if they have upheld their oath to support the Constitution, or have they violated it? I don't mean look at the last few months. Don't look at the flyers. Find their record. There are plenty of ways to get voting records. And ask yourself one simple question. Have they upheld their oath of office, or have they not? And then look at them as an employee. This is a job review. This November is a job review. So sit down and evaluate the performance, the job performance of your elected official. Now, if you decide to judge them solely based on how much money they put in your pocket, I can't stop you. That's your right. But it just goes to show that, yeah, you're bought and paid for. You've accepted the bribe. Maybe you'll vet them based on their political party. Again, just shows me that you put team membership above the work that they do. You effectively say, hey, you know, at that point you can think of a political party as a union. You don't care if the employee is any good, you got the right union involved. But if you look at what they have done, if you look at it and say, have they supported liberty and freedom, or have they crushed liberty and freedom? Have they supported those who want more freedom for the American people or less freedom for the American people? Have they supported censorship or not? Have they fought against censorship? This is not a party issue. I know I have given examples of plenty Republicans and Democrats that have been in support of censorship, of government control of private property. But we need to start deciding that we're going to vet our employees based on the actions that they take, not the rhetoric, not the promises, not the bribes. Because as James Garfield said, now more than ever, the people are responsible for the character of their Congress. If it be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it's because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. If it be intelligent, brave, and pure, it's because the people demand these fine qualities in those who represent them in the national legislature. I say it needs to be more than just a national legislature. I say we are responsible for the character of every elected body. And we are responsible for those that they oversee as well. Because remember, it's the House that impeaches. It's the Senate that tries. And both of those work for you. So will you be fooled by a last-minute shuffle, a shell game, a little bit of three-card Monty to convince you that, nah, they're not bad people? Sure, 90% of the time, they were abusing your rights and acting like dictators. But now at the last minute, they've had a change of heart. So maybe you'll vote for them. Will you be fooled or not? Now, as I like to say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 10,000 times, you're probably an American voter. Now, let me remind you that America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeart Radio Network. You can listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where you can stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And now, you can also get the podcast on those apps as well. So enjoy America Out Loud Radio, share it with a friend, and share the blessings of liberty to all.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.